things that our Lord even told them quite yet, okay? You know, we do that from time to time. I spoke on this Wednesday night. We can read God's Word. You know, if you're in church any length of time, you've read these verses hundreds, thousands of times, maybe in a lifetime. You've read right over them, and then all of a sudden, God's Spirit speaks to you about them. And you see things that you've never seen before. And the Holy Spirit just opens the broad spectrum of truth, wonderful truth, to you. And I think that's probably where they were right now. The broad spectrum of truth had not opened their mind to what had appeared yet. Their heart had not received the fact, truly received the fact that Jesus was raised from the grave, the tomb. And verse 11 continues, but Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre. Now, you know, there are 11 appearances before our Lord ascended to earth or to heaven, okay? And then there are 3 more appearances after he ascended to his Father, okay? And Mary's the first one. And so there's been a lot of commentary written through the years, and so I kind of read some of this. I never really thought about this, but I wanted to share it with you. Mary was the first one that Jesus appeared to. Is it any coincidence that it was because she was the first one there? She had such a devoted interest to get to that tomb and be with the body of our Lord. She was there first. So what comes to mind is a proverb, Proverbs 8:17 says, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Mary did that. She ran to the tomb. And while the disciples and while the other women were trying to figure this thing out, Jesus appears to Mary. So she stoops down and she looks into the sepulcher, and she, in verse 12, seeth 2 angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She sayest unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Now, I don't know if it might have been a little shady or dark, or I'm not sure why she couldn't see. Maybe she was, there's some commentators say that maybe she was so, she had a one-track mind. She was grieving, and she couldn't see anything else through her grief. You follow me? But Jesus sees, as she sees Jesus standing, and she doesn't realize it's Jesus. And in verse 15, Jesus says unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if they have borne him hence, if they've taken him anywhere, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Now, this is a woman who loves the Lord. And she does have faith for what he's done for her already, but she's at a point in her life where her faith in this situation hasn't quite kicked in yet. 2 angels, our Lord sees her, she sees the Lord, she thinks he's the gardener. She's a single-minded woman at this point, okay? She's still looking for this body. Where is this body? And I was thinking about this, and I said, you know, sometimes I'm just like Mary. I'm in my situation, my crisis with family, with work, with finances, whatever that crisis may be, and I can't see 2 feet in front of me because my mind is stuck on my situation. We get so in tune to our hurts and our poor me stuff that goes on in her life. I think Mary is at that point right now. And so in verse 16, Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. So Jesus calls her by name. And then, and only then, does she recognize him. She recognizes his voice. And he says in verse 17, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and to your God. So Jesus says, look, don't touch me. I haven't yet ascended to be with the Father. Now, later, he tells the disciples to touch him, but that's after he's already ascended. And we'll see that, and I'll go ahead, since it's getting so late, I don't want to keep you hanging. So the reason that we know that is the disciples were in the room, and the Bible says that the door is closed. And if you look at that word from the Greek word from which it was translated, it means locked. They're in a locked room, and Jesus appears to them. How could he do that? Well, he's in his ascended form. He can do what he wants. He doesn't have the limitations of that physical body that he had for 33 and a half years while walking this earth. He appeared to them. But at this point, he's still not ascended to the Father. And he says, look, Mary, don't touch me yet. There are certain commentators that you read that think from this point, from between this point and the time that he goes and sees the disciples, that he has ascended to his Father. And what he did when he ascended to his Father was go to his Father and show him what he's done for his people. The scars in his hands and his feet. And doing that, he pled for our case based on the shed blood that he gave for our sins. Judgment seat turned into mercy seat. Isn't that great? A judgment seat became a mercy seat for those who believe in him. This day he went and pled, and he kept those scars. We know that, as we'll see in just a minute. It says in verse 21, and I've got to tie this thing up. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so I send you. Did I jump ahead here? Oh, I am so sorry. I read that verse and I'm like, that doesn't sound like where I need to be. Yeah, I turned two pages instead of one. So since it's so late, I want to share something with you. This is a neat deal here, and I'm gonna go forward for just a moment because I think I can do it, and we'll continue this next week. But if you will look at verse number 23, we're going to close on verse 23. Whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. Okay, so this is a verse that's very easy to misunderstand. Okay? Nowhere in the Bible, nowhere in the book of Acts or in the epistles do we find any instance of an apostle or a disciple forgiving sins of anyone. And so you can read this verse and you can easily think, well, apparently he's given them permission to do so, but that's not what this verse is about. Forgiveness of sins is only done through the blood of Jesus Christ. No other way. But, however, the apostles went every way proclaiming the forgiveness of sins. And what this verse is all about is proclaiming that message. How do you proclaim the message? Well, you witness to people. Tell people about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Go back to chapter 14. Chapter 14, just a couple of pages, and look in verse number 12. You'll remember this because we were just here 3 or 4 months ago in chapter 14. But look in, first of all, let's read, I wish I had time to read more of this, but let's look in verse number 12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And look at this. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Now remember, we went through this and we said, wait a minute. Jesus is talking to the disciples here, and he's telling them that he did great works, but they're going to do greater. How could that be? How could the apostles do greater than our Lord? And what he was talking about was the sheer mechanics of what was about to happen. The apostles would be shedding, preaching and proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when we do that, when we witness to others and when people are saved, that's a greater work than what Christ was doing. Christ was healing people. He was ministering to people. He was serving people on this earth. But because he was in human form, he could only be in one place at one time. He knew everything. He was the Son of God. But here, because of what he's done on the cross, it can be done all at the same time in Slayton, in Lubbock, in Peru, in Honduras, here and here and here and here and here. All, it's a greater work. And so I want you to know, next time you ask God to give you discretion and courage to speak to your neighbor or that mean-hearted family member you've got that you deal with, and you want to share the gospel with them, just know this right here. That's a greater work than what Christ did on this earth. In the sense, that's what he said. That's verse number 12 there. John 14:12. Write it down. That's a greater work. And what a privilege it is to do that greater work. That's why we have missionaries. That's why these vans run out here. And that's why we try to support efforts that bring people to the Lord. Would you pray with me? Father, we